This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
He was a martyr for truth and freedom, said President Donald Trump, speaking of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the founder of the organization that had ministered to America's young people all across the country since he was 18 years of age, Turning Point USA. President Donald Trump said Wednesday night he is filled with grief and anger over the assassination of Turning Point USA co-founder and CEO Charlie Kirk during the event in Utah at a university. To my great fellow Americans, said Donald Trump, I'm filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror, said Donald Trump. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, said President Trump, and there's never been anyone so respected by our young people. Charlie Kirk, age 31, was shot in the neck during a forum with students at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. A video from the event showed Kirk bleeding heavily from an apparent gunshot wound to his neck. He survived by his wife of 4 years, Erica, and children Mia Grace, age 3, and James Charles, age 1. President Trump said Charlie also was a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven, said Donald Trump. He went on to say our prayers are with his wife Erica, his two young, beloved children, and his entire family, who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Indeed it is. And I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And because his conversation was primarily with America's young people across the land, and I don't exactly fit that mode myself at this particular point, my engagement or contact with Charlie Kirk was minimal. However, some of my grandchildren found him extremely motivational and actually were part of some of his Turning Point USA groups. And so I appreciate so much what he did and his energy, his good spirit as he conducted these open debates and so on with people, young people across America, and he did so with great courage. As a famous philosopher, sociologist, I suppose, of yesteryear, Gaty, said, wealth lost, something lost, courage lost, all lost. Well, Charlie Kirk didn't lose his courage, and he continued on in the face of assaults, both private and public, threats, slaughterings, and so on, slaughterings and threats against him and his family and so on. It was quite amazing. And yet he pressed on. With a kind of courage that is seldom found these days, particularly among conservatives and even less among Christians. Because we tend to shrink. We tend to shrink even in the pulpits of America. If the people don't like what we say, well, we'll just decide not to say it. It's like a dear friend of mine said approximately 32 years ago when I was founding Save America Ministries. He had known me for a long time. We were very good friends, and he was a Christian brother. And he said, Chuck, don't say it like that. Just say it sweeter. Say it nicer. In other words, don't say it at all. Don't say anything that would be unmarketable. Unmarketable. Well, that's our problem. That's our problem in ministry. That's our problem with in our politics. It's our problem in so many areas of our lives. We lack a holy boldness. We lack a holy boldness in the pulpits of America. We lack a holy boldness in the schools of America. We lack a holy boldness in the courts of America. We lack a holy boldness in the Congress of America and in the various electoral offices across the country. But that's just dealing with politics. What if we're dealing with something more potent, more important, more eternal than that? You see, Charlie Kirk was focused primarily, as a Christian, focused primarily on political issues. But what if you're focused primarily on spiritual issues with the political application and implications, but that cause people, even in our churches, to shrink because they didn't want to hear it? It's happening all over America, and pastors feel it. Pastors know that the people don't want to hear it. And so what do? Instead of being straight out and discussing the issue boldly from God's viewpoint, they shrink. They decide, well, I don't want to talk about that because the people don't want to hear it, and I can't afford to lose my congregation. I can't afford to have them rise up and say, you know what, Pastor, we don't want to hear that, and we're going on down to the next church down the street here because they're going to tell me something that's more akin to what I want to hear. That's where we are. And friends, it's a manifestation that we've lost the fear of the Lord in the land. We just have. We've gradually, slowly, over the past, I say, 60 years, gradually abandoned the fear of the Lord. And when you abandon the fear of the Lord, gradually, you will inevitably fear man. You will. And Charlie Kirk decided not to fear man, but he was killed by man because the majority out there did not fear God. Those that rose up against him all across America did not fear God. So you have an awful lot of people now who are remembering, and rightly so, Charlie Kirk for all of the righteous things that he did. As a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, both he and his wife. On the other hand, you have a vast number of people out here. Most of them identified with a political D beside their name, who have completely abandoned the fear of the Lord. So much so that when one of the congresswomen yesterday called for a moment of prayer in the Congress, on the floor of the Congress, the Democrats rose up in rage against it. Now, that tells you the spirit of where we are in our country today. The so-called red state and blue state dichotomy is a political division. But there's a spiritual division that goes along with the D and the R behind the name. And it is one group still maintains some element of the fear of the Lord. The other group has largely abandoned it. And therein lies violence in the midst of it. We'll be right back after this to take a further look at this American icon, Charlie Kirk. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Was he a martyr for truth and freedom? Was he a martyr for the Lord? Well, that would involve a great deal of debate, because the majority of what Charlie Kirk talked about was political issues. Nothing wrong with that. We talk about political issues here on this program. But our primary focus here is not political issues, because we know that that is not at the foundation of our problems. Our real problem here are the spiritual issues that actually underlie all of the political issues that we talk about. It's the spiritual issues, the condition of the mind and heart of we the people, that determines our politics and that determines how we react to other people. Do we consider other people as made in the image of God, or have we actually created, shall we say, political idols? So that if somebody doesn't serve our political idol, then we dehumanize them and make them into something other than someone made in the image of God. And therefore, we can defile them. We can even assassinate them. And do so with joy and celebration among our groupies out there. Among our groupies out there. The Jerusalem Post actually came out with an interesting piece, and here's the headline today: Death of Charlie Kirk lays bare deep U.S. political divisions. Well, that's true, but it also lays bare even more so deep spiritual divisions in this country, and therein lies the real problem. The real problem is not political divisions. The political divisions are there because of the spiritual divisions. We no longer, as a people, consider America to be under God. Why? Because half of the country has rebelled against God's authority, to the extent which one half of the Congress decided to rebel against a call for a simple moment of silence and prayer in memory of Charlie Kirk's assassination yesterday. What was that group? They're called members of the Democrat Party. Why would they do that? Because they're not submitted to the God that made and preserved us a nation. They've created other gods in their own image, like political gods. And therefore, they're serving them. And if you don't serve their political God, by definition, then you are a rebel against their God, and therefore you must be taken out. You see, they've completely removed the Christian view that underlies America's founding and up until the last 50, 60 years, American life. How did it happen? We abandoned the fear of the Lord gradually. We just did. You might not like to hear that. You say, well, that's not true of my church. Well, don't say so quickly. Because if you disagree with what God has said in his word on any particular point, you already have demonstrated you have a qualified fear of the Lord. You only fear the Lord when he agrees with your viewpoint. But if he doesn't agree with your viewpoint on some particular issue, then all of a sudden, oh, well, no, I don't fear God because I have the ability to make a choice here. When you make that choice, you actually are making the choice for God's arch enemy. It's called Satan, the serpent, the same one who caused Eve to make that idolatrous, defiant choice in the Garden of Eden so many millennia ago. You see, what goes around comes around. And the only thing we seem to learn from history is that we don't learn from history, even in God's own house. And there's our problem. So God is saying, look, I know what's going on there with the Democrat Party or with however you want to say it, whether those who in the Republican and Democrat Party or any other party, those who are rebelling against my word, my authority, don't agree with me in whole as to my word. I know their hearts out there. I know they're rebels. But God says, look, the biggest problem that I am looking at is what's going on under my name in my house. That's where the problem really is from my viewpoint, says God. How do you know that? Because the Bible says that judgment will begin at the house of God. It's not going to begin at the White House. It's not going to begin in the Congress. It's not going to begin at the Supreme Court. It's not going to begin at the schoolhouse. It's going to begin at your house, if you're a professing Christian, and in God's own house. That's where judgment's going to begin. Why? Because to whom much is given, much more is required. See, we've gotten the whole thing backwards. And we thought that we can convince unregenerate people to live godly when godly people are living unregenerate. Are you beginning to get the point? Now, we don't want to hear it this way because we just want to hear another kind, nice, soft memorial to Charlie Kirk. But if we do that, we forget the real issue here. For instance, Victor David Hansen, who is not known for his Christian viewpoints, but is known for his conservative viewpoints, says the slaying of Charlie Kirk has crossed the Rubicon in America. Now, what does he mean by that? He means harking back to Julius Caesar when he crossed the river there, coming back into Rome, that he made the fatal mistake when he crossed the Rubicon, there was no turning back. No turning back. He had committed himself. No turning back. Have we as Americans crossed the Rubicon? Was the intended assassination of Donald Trump not enough? The double efforts to assassinate Donald Trump not enough? Have all these other butcherous killings, mass killings out there, not been enough? Was the 9/11 attack that we supposedly are memorializing this very day not enough? No. Apparently not. It was not enough. Someone mentioned to me that, yes, we're memorializing painfully the events that took place on 9/11, where about 3,000 Americans lost their lives in the attack on the World Trade Center towers and on the United States Pentagon, and then also up there in Pennsylvania. Horrific. I watched those towers come down. It was shattering to my sensibilities as a God-fearing American. Look at what's happening to the land of the free becoming only the home of the brave. And so Americans responded. How did we respond? Well, we responded in grief. And George W. Bush, then President of the United States, tried to help us respond in a courageous way, saying we will rebuild. Yes, we have rebuilt. But what have we rebuilt? Look at what's happened here. You can build masonry, sticks, stones, buildings. You can put all of that together in skyscrapers. But look, the real essence of the country is in shambles. The moral and spiritual foundations of the country are being destroyed right in front of our eyes, and we still don't get it. We don't get it because God says, I'm looking at what's happening in the lives of those who profess my name. Not in the lives of the pagans. They're condemned already, Jesus said in John chapter 3. I'm looking at the lives of those who profess to be my followers, my children. And I don't see righteousness, I don't see holiness, and without holiness no man will see the Lord. You're not prepared for my second coming. Something is wrong here. So what happened after 9/11? Well, people had been afraid, and going all the way back to an earlier date in the first Gulf War, people were afraid. And so they began to put patriotic ribbons all over the trees all over America. And then after 9/11, it was like double duty. And people all of a sudden became patriotic. But more than that, it seemed like they were gripped spiritually. It seemed that way. To the point where pastors and parachurch leaders all over the country were cheering that America's great long-sought revival had finally arrived. Why? Well, guess what? Americans had been flooding back to church. Back in 1993 and 92, with George Herbert Walker Bush. But Time magazine said, yeah, they're flooding back to church, but church will never again be the same. Why? Because they're searching for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. So George W. Bush, the son, comes along in 9/11, and, you know, we've been attacked from the outside. How in the world that ever happened is still a matter of great concern to me. With all of our protective efforts and so on, all of the FBI, the CIA, all of those things, and it still happened. I'm concerned. I'm a bit suspicious as to how that happened. Hate to put it so bluntly, but I am. I don't think it just happened. So after it happened, Americans were flooding back to church again. And the pastors were saying, my goodness, this is the great revival. Guess what? Within 2 to 3 months, the testimony across America among spiritual leaders was, whatever happened to the supposed revival? In other words, we had already drifted back, forgotten 9/11, forgotten everything that had impressed us deep in our souls, and had reverted back to the same condition before, in fact, even worse. So they said, now we're in a worse position. Not only did we not have true and general revival, we actually have reverted, become more degenerate after 9/11. So then George W. Bush said, you know what? And this was within a few days after the 9/11 experience. He said, you know what? Jews, Muslims, and Christians all worship the same God. This was the George W. Bush that the National Religious Broadcasters Group had celebrated as the great religious leader for the country, an evangelical Christian. So now he's declared that Jews, Muslims, and Christians all worship the same God. The Muslims didn't agree with that, but he did. And he didn't stop there. Within 2 weeks after that, George W. Bush declared all religions worship the same God. He thought he could placate the world, make peace with all men, and usher in democracy as the new evangelism to save the world. We had forgotten what kind of people we supposedly were. Even our own president, who had been lifted to great accolades by the religious leaders, the Christian leaders of the country, couldn't bear to recognize that he had betrayed them. He wasn't the person that they thought he was. And now he had declared, we should receive all religions into this country as co-equal in authority, even though we claim to be a nation under God. Well, what God were we under? We betrayed ourselves. And now, with this latest issue, Victor David Hansen says, we've crossed the Rubicon. What does he mean by that? That the assassination of Charlie Kirk marked a political turning point, saying it had crossed the Rubicon. Does that mean we've also crossed the Rubicon spiritually? Let's talk about it when we get back. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Have we crossed the Rubicon? Not just politically, but spiritually in America. And is there no way back then? That's what it means to cross the Rubicon. It means it's a place of no return. Is that true? Is that true politically? Is that true spiritually? It's a metaphor that speaks loudly for anyone that knows anything about history. Victor David Hansen said, it was something that we don't see in the United States. That is, Charlie Kirk wasn't just a brilliant political activist and organizer, but he was also a journalist and media figure. We see people take out media figures and journalists in Mexico and in Europe. But we've crossed the Rubicon, he said. Hansen said Kirk was a happy warrior that the left wanted to destroy. And he's right. The left wanted to destroy him. Why? Because we don't want to hear it. Don't tell us what we don't want to hear. But how is that any different than what's happened in our churches? Do you realize that starting with the free love movement in the 1960s by the baby boomers, that the whole issue of marriage was broken asunder, it was assassinated by disbelief of what God had said concerning marriage. From Genesis chapter 2, what I've joined together, man must not put asunder. But starting in 1968, even Ronald Reagan participated as a professing Christian, participated in no-fault divorce. He then later said it was the worst thing he ever did. I understand why he did it. But he said it was the worst thing he ever did. He's probably right. Had we crossed the Rubicon? Yes. Did the church cross the Rubicon with the political cross? Absolutely, the church did. So by the middle of the 1970s, the divorce rate in the church almost equaled that of the nation as a whole. By the end of the 1980s, it did virtually equal the nation as a whole. So great was the problem that in the early 1990s, 6 southern governors declared a marital emergency because the divorce rate had exceeded 50%, sometimes up to 65%, in areas of the so-called Bible Belt. How could such a thing happen? It's because we didn't want to hear what we didn't want to hear in our churches. And then our pastors became afraid to tell us. Because this is what's happening in our culture. So we've got to go along with the culture. We've got to play the game. Charlie Kirk wasn't willing to play the game in political areas. He was driven, I do believe, sincerely by his Christian faith. He wanted to tell the truth, that he was speaking to the nation as a whole, particularly through young people. But as you see and you listen to people and their comments and their observations, the primary gravamen of his message was political. So there was no underlying spiritual transformation. The arguments were largely political. not spiritual. So, yes, Donald Trump is absolutely right. It's a dark moment for America. That's what he said. It's a dark moment for America. Now, Donald Trump doesn't fully comprehend the spiritual aspect of this because that isn't where his life has been. But he's beginning to understand it a little bit more. At least what he says, we take comfort in knowledge that Charlie Kirk is now at peace with God in heaven. That would never have been something that Donald Trump would have said 15 years ago. And I'm glad, I'm delighted that Charlie inspired millions. A lot of people loved him and are united in shock and horror by what's happened. But it's a dark day in America. A writer for the Christian Post says, the American icon Charlie Kirk was killed by intolerance. In a nation whose foundation is free speech and religious liberty, Charlie Kirk was murdered for exercising those freedoms. Charlie transformed conservatism in America not only for young people, but for all of us. Without a college degree, he exposed the moral rot and academic dishonesty in higher education. By the way, notice, he didn't have a college degree and he didn't go to seminary. Neither did John the Baptist. God's not impressed with degrees. He's impressed with those who will hear his voice and speak the truth no matter what. Charlie's Prove Me Wrong events were powerful, a powerful way to show that our differences of opinion are best served by lots of discussion. That's what we do here on this program. God says, come now and let us reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if we'll respond to his voice. If we'll respond to the message, then things will turn around. But unfortunately, there were untold millions who didn't respond to Charlie Kirk's message politically and certainly didn't respond to it spiritually. And so we're at a turning point. Yes, indeed, maybe the title of his political action group, Turning Point USA, maybe that was the correct title. Have we turned a corner positively, or have we turned a corner and crossed the Rubicon never to see again the hope that America was to provide under God? Ryan Bomberger writes for the Christian Post, and he says, courage is not limited in limited supply. It's just rarely chosen by people to exercise it. Who wants to be unfriended in real life or online? Who wants to be unliked by friends or family or coworkers? Who wants to lose half of your congregation because you dared to speak biblical truth? Who wants to face the mob's wrath when speaking about abortion, gender radicalization, fatherlessness, or the war on common sense? How about divorce? How come that always gets left out in the discussion? We want to talk about divorce. We want to talk about homosexuality. We want to talk about fathers. How about divorce? Oh, we don't do that. You know, what's interesting, it was about maybe 20, 25 years ago, an article came out of one of our newspapers. It was an editorial talking about Gingrich's, he was then Speaker of the House, it was like a covenant with America, the contract with America, they called it. And all of the points of the contract with America, and this editorial commentator, who was not a Christian, said, whatever happened to divorce? Oh, we don't talk about that. Why don't we talk about that? Because our president was divorced. That's why. Oh, so in other words, we're not going to make anybody feel uncomfortable. We'll just leave that out of the equation. You know what? That's why it's been left out of the equation in most of our churches for the past 40 years. Same reason. We don't really have courage. Courage lost, all lost. Courage is in limited supply, it seems, because very few people are willing, including our pastors, to really speak out. Oh, we'll speak out about things that affect the so-called pagans. But when it comes to speaking to those who are sitting right in front of us in our congregation, not so much. We're terrified. We don't want to lose. We don't want to lose some offerings. It might affect our building program. Charlie was an inspiration. He started Turning Point USA at the age of 18. He refused to accept the status quo and showed youth across America that silence should never be an option. There's no America without free speech and religious liberty. This can't be stated strongly enough, says Mr. Bomberger in his comments. It's the reason why people like Charlie are so hated by the left. They detest it when people don't bow at the fake altar of unity. We've had the same cry in the church ever since the 1970s. Unity, unity, this our cry. How do you gain that kind of unity? By giving up God's truth in order to make people feel better. That's how. I've watched it from coast to coast, my friends. I believe it's sickening to God. It's the Laodicean spirit. God wants to vomit us out of his mouth because we are so pusillanimous when it comes to God's truth that alone will unite us both in spirit and in truth. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify or set them apart according to thy truth. Thy truth, thy word is truth. Then he talked about the unity. We decided to do an end run around the truth and talk about unity. We talk about political unity. We talk about spiritual unity. No, you can't have it by dissing what God has said in order to somehow come to some mutuality of good feelings. God hasn't called us to unity of good feelings. He's called us to a unity of faith, right? So this writer says we can never be unified with a lie. Now he's talking about political unity, but the same is true for spiritual unity. For a political demographic that constantly rants about diversity, they despise diversity of thought. Free speech is the enemy. Somehow the land of the free and home of the brave has been warped by so-called progressivism into the land of the ideologically enslaved and home of the afraid. There's a lot that we can learn from this event, friends. And the real focus is not that the ammo that the assassin's rifle contained that had transgender and anti-fascist markings on it. It tells us something about the guy's motivation. But ultimately, the bigger issue is not to get us into a transgender war. It's to get us into a mind and heart set that gets us aligned with the God who made and preserved us to lay a nation once again. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
In memorial of Charlie Kirk, that's our program here today. Going back to 2007, Jonathan Falwell, the son of Jerry Falwell, founder of the Moral Majority, made this statement, "Our culture is turning from God." That was in 2007. 23 years ago. He said a recent poll reveals that fellow Americans are growing progressively more skeptical of the existence of God and do not believe in other key principles taught in the Bible. He said while the majority of Americans deem that there is a God, even that belief is shrinking. The poll also found 56% of respondents saying that religion was very important in their own lives. But these are the same people that overwhelmingly said they believed in God. In other words, they don't believe in God. They just believe in some general idea of God, and now it's just called, I'm spiritual. 2007, culture turning from God. The culture has turned from God, friends. That's why the Lord spoke to my heart in 1992 while I was in my law office there in Southern California, saying, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause of the land as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation in America's gracious crisis hour. Nobody wanted to hear it. Still don't. Still pretending like a two-year-old putting our hands over our face and saying, look, God, you can't see me. It's those guys over there. It's not me, it's not my congregation, it's not those who call themselves by your name, it's those people over there. Don't you see them, Lord? And he said, yeah, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their own wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Oh, no, but we don't like that message, Lord. It's those people. Don't you realize they wear the black hat, we wear the white hat. You get the problem? We disagree with God's assessment. His diagnosis. Senator Mullen, speaking yesterday, said what happened was completely unacceptable, that conservative activist Charlie Kirk was killed for his beliefs, especially given his signature style of giving opposing views his chance to be heard. He said he talked about facts and gave that opportunity to individuals to speak on their beliefs. And because of his beliefs, because of his strong Christian stance, he was killed. He was a Christian, and Christians are under attack right now, far from this crazy left views that they say they don't feel safe. It's true. Why do you think God moved upon my heart to write the book When Persecution Comes that came out last year? Why do you think that is? Because this is indeed what God was talking about. This is indeed one manifestation of what's coming down the pike. And if you think this is the end of that road, you got another thing coming, my friends. This was more in the light of political persecution. The focus was primarily on political persecution. How about spiritual persecution? That's next. Yes, Charlie Kirk was a strong Bible-believing Christian, as is his wife, Erica. That's wonderful. But his primary message was political. And everybody that's commenting is saying that's why he was killed, for his political beliefs. You might say, well, yes, his political beliefs came out of his Christian faith, and that I can't disagree with. And that's good. That's very good. But the primary focus was not on turning to God, but turning to conservative politics. Now, you say, well, what's the answer? Is there an answer? There was a song back in the 1960s, one a ballad. There will be an answer, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Okay, here's the answer. We've got to return back to the God who made and preserved us a nation. We've got to return back to God's authority in the land, starting in your house. Not starting in their house next door, starting in your house. Because you and I are the ones who are calling us after God's name. We're claiming his name. I'm a Jesus follower. okay, then don't use his name in vain and be a follower of the culture, in whole or in part. That's using the name of the Lord in vain. Now, if you think that I'm speaking strongly here in general, quite frankly, friends, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to point three fingers back at yours truly right here. This isn't a game. If we're on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ, you know, Charlie Kirk just gets to go out there a little earlier than we do, wherever that is, whether it's in heaven, whether it's in the waiting place of the dead, we're not going to argue that today. Ultimately, as a true follower of Jesus Christ, obedient, he will be with the Lord ultimately when judgment comes and the resurrection takes place. So, there's always talking about the suspect. The suspect out there. Well, God's looking at the suspects from his viewpoint. The suspects from his viewpoint are those who profess his name that aren't living according to his will. Those are God's suspects. So he says, you guys are suspect. Why do you think he wrote the letters to the seven churches of Asia? They were God's suspects. And they represented the then-time church, the now-time church, and the end-time church, including the church at Laodicea, including the church at Thyatira, the church at Ephesus, lost its first love, and so on. Yes, we are at a moment of truth in the Valley of Decision. And this assassination is a salutary event, friends, that should jerk our chain and allow us, cause us to seriously seek the Lord in our own lives. You and I can't save America. Those are words. It's an intent, it's a goal, but we can't save America. America's we the people. It's not an institution. It's we the people. And when the people are righteous and following the Lord, then God, the people are blessed. When the people do not follow the Lord, the country falls. It's just as simple as that. Read it in the book of Proverbs. These things are not a mystery. They're not a matter of whether a Republican or Democrat's in power. It's whether God's in power. That's the real issue. And he's not right now. Now, I'm so grateful for a lot of things that our President Donald Trump is doing. And the credit that he's giving to Christians, and even this last week from the Bible Museum, Museum of the Bible there in Washington, D.C., calling for a new rise of, he calls it religion. I think that's the wrong term. Maybe he's using it in a political way. But the rise of the following of Jesus Christ in this country, that's our only hope. Now, I want to urge you to get a copy of my book, Renewing the Soul of America. This book provides answers, practical answers from God's viewpoint in every area of our lives. And that's why 38 national Christian leaders endorsed it. Can you imagine 38 national Christian leaders, some who were at odds with one another on a whole lot of different issues, but they endorsed that book. Why? Because they realized that that book was different than any other book that had come out in our generation, really providing answers that we could believe in, that would make a difference, and they'll make a difference in your life. $15 will put it in your hands. Renewing the Soul of America. It's not about them, it's about you and me. In other words, the subtitle, Beginning with You. One person at a time, beginning with you. renewing the soul of America. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check adds $6 for postage and handling. So here we are marking the 24th anniversary of 9/11, the terror attacks, and now we've got another one. Upfront and personal. Charlie Kirk, 31 years of age, shared deep faith with his wife, Erica. She actually runs several faith-centered initiatives. Former Miss Arizona, back in 2012, gave her a platform to engage in Christian ministry and outreach. So both of them, what an amazing thing. Pray for her. Pray for Erica and her wisdom in dealing with their two little kids. Is this a political martyrdom? Yes. Is it a spiritual martyrdom? I'll leave that up to Jesus to determine. But here's the problem, friends. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? Apparently, Charlie Kirk didn't think so. And he continued on, notwithstanding all of the threatenings and slaughterings. What would you do? What are you doing? What are we doing? If you're a pastor, what are you doing? Are there things that you refuse to talk about? You just shrink from talking about in your congregation? I'm not talking about to the world. I'm talking about to your congregation that God talks about in his word, but you don't want to talk about because you're afraid it's going to hurt their feelings. Maybe it's hurting God's feelings. At the same time, friends, you might want to get a copy of the book, Preserve Us a Nation. Excuse me, not only not preserve his nation, but when persecution comes. When persecution comes, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. Does this situation not somehow grab us by the neck, the nape of the neck, and God shaking us, say, hey, don't you understand the times? Georgetown Law professor Jonathan Turley calls it an age of rage, a new and chilling stage in the United States of America. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. It's a $25 book, yours for $22 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you get that book and Renewing the Soul of America, then you'll only pay $2 for the second book for postage and handling, a total of $8 for the two. I urge you to do that. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed in either event. Jonathan Turley, the law professor, says the United States is now in a new and chilling stage. He describes it as the age of rage. What does that mean? It means that those are going to rise up continually, not only politically, but spiritually. It's called persecution. This is an age of rage, he said. We need to stand. And having done all to stand, we need to stand with courage, my friends. I hope that's the message that come across to you. Charlie Kirk stood with courage, and we need to do the same. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. It's getting more and more difficult to raise the resources to stay on the air because of the age of rage, friends. That's why. Help us in this regard. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.